The nation's number one radio station, 99.3 Nigeria. Info, yes, we're back. 7:31, going on 33 in about 8 seconds. It's the time for my studios. It's Tuesday morning. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy. This is a good morning.
And we're good to go. You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. And please drop your comment as we go along. We'll take the ones that we can take. Let's start with the Vanguard newspaper. There's a story here on page 5 of the Vanguard newspaper. Unease in financial markets as CBN's MPC meeting fails to hold.
Yeah, I wonder why this happened and there's been no real explanation so far. And, okay, so the CBN's MPC meeting is a regular, regular meeting. Let me see what it says there. It says it was created to facilitate attainment of the objective of price stability and to support the economic policy of the government. The MPC, according to the CBN Act, is the highest policy-making organ of the Apex Bank. The MPC is mandated to review economic and financial conditions in the economy, determine appropriate stance of policy in the short to medium term, review regularly the CBN monetary policy framework, and adopt changes when necessary. It's also mandated to communicate monetary financial policy decisions effectively to the public and ensure the credibility of the model of transmission mechanism of monetary policy. Now, this MPC is supposed to meet every 2 months, except otherwise decided, in the event of an emergency compromise. The meeting of the committee, which had been slated for 25th and 26th September, was deferred by the CBN, apparently due to change in the leadership of the bank. Okay. And so it was expected that the meeting would have taken place, but it didn't. And various reactions say, Muda Yusuf says that it can aggravate economic uncertainty. That is definite. Better a new date rather than leave it hanging, commercial partners. It would keep investors guessing, Akinloye. Market will assume policy directions of the MPC, Chiazo. MPC has not been officially constituted, or Latunde. It will heighten speculation, uncertainty of economy, that's Oni. Not good for the economy, Kurfi. It will worsen Nigeria's macroeconomic woes, Social Justice Group. And this one also says it will keep investors guessing. Now, you know, that's an irony because currently the president is in Germany. He just came back from. Where did he come back from?
I think he left Saudi, then go to.
Then he went for Umrah, and then now he's in Germany.
Yeah.
You know, in his bid, apparently, to see what Nigeria can tap into as far as foreign investments are concerned. But we keep stressing that for you to get foreign investors, serious foreign investors, you need to tidy up, you know, you need to tidy up what's going on at home. This is another reason that gives a lot of us anxiety. Of course, those who are interested in the, who are interested in what's going on in the currency market, the pound, I know the pound for sure. I don't know the dollar traded for 1414. That's 1,000 for every £1 you want, £1 coin. You have to put down 1414. That's 1,414. So if you want just £1,000 to buy shoe and bag for madam, you know, on your trip, you'll be needing 1.4 million. you know, that is the reality that we face. And let me use this opportunity to raise an alarm. The cost of buying drugs has gone completely haywire. Completely haywire. You know, and I have anxieties for various people who are hypertensive, people who are asthmatics. Okay, so you have, I think the one of the best inhalers you can use, because you must use the best inhaler. I hear now it's close to about 14K. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know.
So if you have a 30K minimum wage and you use 14,000 to buy an inhaler, your guess is as good as mine. What I have had to do with one or two of my own little corner of employees is take the cost of medication out of their whatever and subsidize it from there. So we are going to need the authorities to take a very, 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 very quick look at what's going on in the health sector.
Indeed. I completely agree.
Yes.
It's not that. So we have the culture of spending out of pockets in Nigeria when it comes to healthcare. And we have very not so good health seeking behavior as well. It's even worse in men than in women. And when these women even go to the hospital, they get to wait countless hours without seeing a doctor. By the time they will get to see the doctor is already tired. And you have quite a number of issues surrounding the health sector in Nigeria. The facilities are just deplorable. It's not the most of the facilities are not supposed to be, you know, where people go to seek health services. The doctors themselves are not well motivated. It's strike every year. I'm happy that a couple of their demands have been acceded to lately. I'm happy. And the next thing is, will this be enough to keep them in country? Because every now and again, we keep losing our best hands, even to the Gambia, even to Ghana, even to neighboring African countries. That's so shameful, if you ask me. And then to now top it all up, the people that are supposed to even be able to get what they need without going to the hospital, like the inhaler, like the Augmentin, not to advertise, but this is in the public domain already.
Yes.
Now, these drugs have gone astronomically high. And I don't know what's next for the people if they can't get to treat themselves. And then you don't want them to go to Yalagbo or Balagbo to go and get, you know, herbs to treat themselves. But then the ones that they have, they've agreed with you that, look, we're going to get drugs. Now, these drugs are getting out of hand for them, out of control for them. They are not affordable to the common man now. So what's their fate?
I think it's also well. Let me quickly add that this, of course, has led to the rise of fake drugs. There's so many of them, so you've got to be very, very careful. That's one. And it's sad that at this 2023, those who are motivated, the professionals who are motivated, are just the politicians and the judiciary. Even the armed forces are not that well motivated. We need to think about this. We need a total revamp. It's a pity that we have to keep repeating these things daily, but that's the best we can do so far. But we shouldn't be pushed to thinking of an alternative. I think we can go to the next one.
Let's move on to our next story. It's still in the Vanguard newspaper, page 18. It's the editorial here. Greetings to Jonathan at 66.
I don't send. I say greetings to him and also thank him. At least we can point to one president that we had, who currently is regarded as a statesman internationally. I was briefed yesterday about the regard that Jonathan is given. Somebody went to Kenya, and he was there, and she was completely surprised at the respect and regard that was given. I think Obasanjo also has that. People don't understand our job. A lot of people were saying that, oh, okay, but you were highly critical of him. Yes, in that function. These things are not personal. It's not hatred. I was critical of him for the things he was doing then, but it doesn't take away from the fact that subsequently he became, over time, a complete statesman. And I salute him today. I still would look forward to when I can have 60 minutes with him. And as for his experiences. So he was 66 yesterday. The Vanguard joins millions of well-meaning and patriotic Nigerians in celebrating him. If you didn't know, though, Jonathan was a university lecturer until he was picked as deputy governor to Alamisia. And then before we knew it, he became also the vice president to Yar'Adua. And it's the editorial says that Jonathan proved that while building of ambitious projects are central to development and a better life for the people. Personal example leaves much more enduring footprint.
Mm.
Personal example. Throughout his 5 years as president, Jonathan never used his enormous powers to oppress or dehumanize political opponents, despite being the most abused president. As he dryly put it, he used to call himself the most abused president. Under him, a democracy flourished as never before. He said he was neither an emperor nor a general, and that his ambition was not worth the blood of any Nigerian. That is very significant. He practiced what he preached, such that even when the 2015 presidential election was going against him, he threw in the towel ahead of the result announcement and congratulated Buhari and saved this country from a massing of evil forces waiting to levy war on the nation. Since then, Jonathan has been elevated to international statesman status, just like President Olusegun Obasanjo. Jonathan also set a good example with the level of independence that INEC enjoyed under his watch. He followed closely some of the recommendations of the Justice Muhammadu Wey's panel on electoral reforms and appointed by popular demand an independent-minded INEC chairman, Professor Atahiru Jega, who, wait for this, a man he never met beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, this is remarkable. Right now, this new government is under pressure that some of the recs that have been appointed are APC, or have, at least at the very least, you can say have AP, they're sympathetic to the APC. But he made, like any human being, he made his share of mistakes, such as not being decisive enough to curb corruption in his government. I think he just got overwhelmed. He probably didn't know where to look again. And I can jolly well imagine, who can you, with a true heart, point to? Can you give that assignment to curb corruption in Nigeria? That is somebody who is corruption-free. Even those who, by virtue of propaganda, we thought were czars and this, later we know in what dining table we found them eating. That's a story for another day. But the vanguard says, nevertheless, we appreciate him and thank him for his service to Nigeria. All those who align with this say aye.
Obviously not me.
You don't agree that we should thank him for his service to Nigeria?
Let's move on to our next story.
Tell me now, Jamisi, what's going on?
Let's move on to our next story. Happy birthday to His Excellency. Good luck, Jonathan.
And we thank him for his service to the nation.
Why would I do that? Let's move on. 7:45. What? I'm being honest.
This is the first time I'm going to see you protest.
I enjoy it.
It's good.
If you had been more decisive, we wouldn't have been here. Look, yes. happy birthday to His Excellency. Yeah, happy birthday. Happy birthday to him.
Yes, but also remember, sometimes one thing you do can erase all. If Jonathan wanted to be like some of those in government today, this country would have burned down. Definitely. So we thank him for that.
So we don't know that. That's number one. Number two.
No, we know that.
We don't know that.
Okay.
Number two. Because it didn't happen, so we don't know. Number two is that he didn't do what he was supposed to do to save us. His inactions has led us here now.
Yeah, but you have to put these things in a balance. You can't win.
Where's the balance? Where's the other side? Where's the other side? You do your work. You don't do it.
Shame me.
This is, no, no.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
Okay. Let's go to page 29. Sorry. Of the Vanguard. Alleged 2 billion naira for fans. Others. Report is false, Lagos government.
Okay, so we have this this report that had been critique of the report that had been published by Funchal Duarte, who, for all his worth, will be here on Saturday to give a thorough explanation of what this is all about. And we had contacted the Commissioner for Information over the weekend, Lagos State, to send somebody to come also, listen to him, and maybe come on Tuesday. But they sent in a reaction today. But it would still be nice to have somebody that we can. We'll sort all that out. But the Lagos State said that they debunked the online reports that it got $2 billion for the supply of fans, rechargeable lights, and fridges, and saying that it only got $2 million. Not $2 billion, $2 million. Okay. The story says that, okay, Funchal Duarte had written to the governor on projects funded with taxpayers' money. Okay. So, reacted to that. One of the things that is most important that the Lagos State government has to react to, though, is another one that made the rounds, that four senior law firms were paid 50 million naira each from government coffers to defend the governor at the tribunal. It would be nice if the law firms can react to this thing, because it just doesn't look tidy. And I hope it is not. And at least I know two of these law firms. I know their heads personally. One is a very senior Lagosian, 90 plus. So I think, because I don't think it's proper that you should be paying if it is true, that you should be paying the lawyers from the government coffers. And that even if you wanted to do that, I don't know how it surfaced in the books. And we know the way government operates. We're not going to deny that. But it would be nice if both the lawyers in question and two of them are senior advocates, there were two as well, and very senior people. So for now, we'll just keep our gunpowder dry. But it would be nice if we got a reaction to that. Anyway, when Funchal comes on Saturday, we'll take him on. And then the following Tuesday, the government will react to whatever he has to say.
Mm. Okay. Let's go to Daily Trust then. We have this story in the Daily Trust newspaper. On page 4, Western democracy not working for Africa. That's Obasanjo. We have similar story inside the Punch. Presidency fumes, tackles Obasanjo over democracy comment.
Okay, so, President Obasanjo, like a lot of us, most of us, right thinking, we know that the politics we are running is a farce. Apart from the cost, the manner, is just over bloated. It's a farce, and that's a given. Okay, so he spoke yesterday at a high-level consultation on rethinking Western liberal democracy for Africa. And what we are running is a madness. Like Fela would say, demonstration of grace. Yes. So nobody can... Look at the cost. Again, we go back to things like vehicles and this and that, National Assembly and whatever. And the Obasanjo is an advocate that we probably should rethink the way our countries are being run. The Lamido says that politicians should change their attitude. An article says that Nigerians are gradually losing faith in democracy. I am one of them. I make bold to say that. However, some CSOs disagree with the president. I think we need to look into what we are running. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And so in another story related to that in the Punch, the story says that the president's fumes tackles Obasanjo over the democracy comment. I'd like to advise the media department of the presidency to tidy up. In the first instance, who is speaking for the presidency? Is it Ngelale or Bayo Onanuga? It would be important for them not to make the same mistake that Buhari had when he had two spokespersons and other people who would also be signing documents and so on and so forth. The presidency has no business reacting to what the man said. And even then, I still wonder why. Well, I think Bayo Onanuga is gradually being known for this, even though I put up a defense for him the other time that he shouldn't be insulted. Why is it that we can't put, what in the first instance, what business has the presidency got to do reacting to what this man has said? And then in so doing, this is what Bayo Onanuga, this is how he addressed a former president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, internationally renowned. He says, Obasanjo ought to know that he brought this thing into Nigeria. I don't know what thing he's talking about, democracy. Fair enough. But now he's doing everything. He says he was the one who made us adopt it in 1979. He must have seen it as expensive and unsuitable when he governed us for 8 years and even wanted an extension for another 4 years. There was no need to make a dig at him. Absolutely no need. The presidency is above all. Don't get involved, you know. It's above all. He's made his comments. The only person who can react to this, maybe by the service asked by journalists, would have been the president himself. It's unnecessary. And then, this is what Mr. Bayo Onanuga says, is the SSA media. So the way he's sounding, it is like the man is getting wiser after leaving office. You don't address a former president in this manner as an official of the presidency. It's rude. It shouldn't be done. I've advised these people, there are some things you pass to the APC secretariat. Then at that level, they can do these things. How can an SSA now be referring to a former president and think that he's getting wiser after leaving office? It's completely unnecessary. And I don't know why you would have so many SSAs information when there should only one captain in the ship. That's just my feel on that. It was completely... Let's have decency in governance, for example, for God's sake. It's not, the elections are over. And those who are in the presidency need to have the sensitivity that goes with that job.
Okay. We're going to go to...
What?
I'm expecting the next one.
Okay.
Let's look at you.
No, it's okay. I wanted to be sure that you're not asking any questions.
I'm not
asking. You see, our kind of democracy is not only expensive,
mm-hmm.
But also fraudulent.
Yeah,
our democracy itself is fraudulent. Our democracy itself is meant to impoverish. Is meant to alienate the people. Is meant to inflict more hardships on the people. If you disagree with me, you can argue with facts as to how your life or how the majority has felt better or have felt better since, let's say, 1989. Let's not go too far.
Yeah.
Let's not go too way back. That's because the operators of the democracy itself, they have made sure that they incapacitate the democracy that we have, the governance structure that we have, to their benefit. So when His Excellency Olusegun Obasanjo was saying this is something that people have said. You have said it so, you know, many times as well. They know how to render things useless, the political class. Look at every aspect of our life. Just look at it. Health, traditional institution. Just look at it everywhere. Anything they touch, just forget it. So is it democracy that they cannot render? No. They will gladly do that.
I think that the emergence of democracy some years back also came along with the social revolution that introduced a new set of characters into the polity. The politicians that we grew up to know, the likes of thinking politicians, Ahmadu Bello, Awolowo, Zeke, who had this desire for a great country, is completely missing. I can say, you know, put it this way, the Boss Quarters boys took over the main house. We need to... A lot of our politicians come from a very indecent background. I didn't say all. It's time we stared ourselves in the face. Because there are certain things that make you wonder. You see them talk in public. You see them, you know, take on some politics. Most of them are megalomaniacs. Most of them are insensitive. Most of them couldn't care a hoot about the followers that go with them. And we keep telling our young people, look at the way these people treat their children. Are you being treated likewise? the least at least you could do for all these young chaps that go abusing people on your behalf, for example, what do you do for them? You give them some chicken change and that's it. So we actually did have a social revolution, and we had ourselves to blame. The elites thought that it was a dirty, you understand, let them do it. And see what you have. The traditional institution is going in that same direction.
Because the boys have infiltrated them.
They've infiltrated them. Check the backgrounds of these people now. Well, why do you need to go too far? Check the backgrounds of some of the people that rule you. Look at what you have in the polity, for example, when elections are coming up. Oh, he did not do A-levels. He did not do youth corps. He did not do this.
How can we be having such conversations?
Yes.
At such a critical period.
Yes. And it is sad that some of us have to say that we thought Nigeria was better ruled under the military than this current people. Look at what we have now. Cost of drugs going up, this and that. Your House of Reps will be thinking of how to bring in Naira Marley or some people who didn't get their whatever right in Saudi. Look, that's what you have. And guess what? It's becoming worse over time because it has now become the status quo. Look at the questions you need to ask when people are put out there for voting. Some of them, you don't know their names. Some of them, you don't know schools attended. Some of them, fraudulent. Did that. We all look away. You cannot lay the foundation of a bungalow and want to build a 20-story building. So it's not just the politics that we practice, because as it is now, any politics that we practice, if you don't have good practitioners,
the foundation is
it's just.
Let's go. We have to go now. It's been fun today. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Well, you're back at 9. Who's coming up at 9?
We want to look at the new NLC, Peter Esele.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's going to be interesting.
Yes. And imagine NLC.
All right. So we'll leave the studio now for Kofi Bartels. JD will be back at 9 for Daily Digest. Stay here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Do not forget, I Beg to Differ has started. We started yesterday, 4 p.m. today, and we'll continue with our debate with secondary school students going head to head here in the studio live. You can watch online, Facebook and YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Stay here.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.